You're listening to the Courageous Life Podcast, helping you develop courage and resilience in a perilous and unpredictable world. This is your host, Sean Mitzel. I'm coming to you from the mountains of northern Idaho. I'm glad you're with us. On today's podcast, we'll be exploring the topic of debt and the amount of it that Americans are in and the tragedy that that is. And also, Monica and I will be giving a homestead update and some money-saving tips. So we're basically going to be letting you know what's going on around here and then also providing some tips to save money. For today's Worldview segment, we go to USA Today in an article that was printed in the end of July of this year, but still very applicable. And the title is, A Third of Americans Delinquent on Debt. Now, I bring this because it is a massive problem in the United States. Most people are not only in debt, not just saying that you have a credit card or a mortgage, etc., it's that they're in collections. So more than a third of the country is in trouble when it comes to paying debts on time. So that is 35% in collections. Now, that means simply that the debt is far past due. And in most cases, that means more than 180 days past due. So what this really gets to is the point of materialism and our culture with regards to money and money management. So if we look at materialism, I want to specify because this is deeper than just looking at, hey, this person likes a lot of fancy stuff. So if we go back to Webster's 1828 dictionary, which I love to do, it says this with regards to materialism. The doctrine of materialists, the opinion of those who maintain that the soul of man is not a spiritual substance distinct from matter, but that it is the result or effect of the organization of matter in the body. Okay, another definition that is helpful, a tendency to consider material possessions and physical comfort as more important than spiritual values. Okay, so what this is really saying is that we have foregone the spiritual for the material. We live in a culture that basically preaches, get as much as you can for as long as you can. Now, they don't say that overtly, but that really is what it boils down to in a lot of ways in our culture. We have foregone the spiritual for the material, and it is simply get as much as you can for as long as you can. Is it not? Is that not the quintessential American dream? The nice car, the nice house, the white picket fence, the healthy 401k, and the like. So, as Christians, we must look to the scriptures for guidance in this area. So I want to give you just a couple of verses real quick. 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. Proverbs 30:8, keep deception and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion. So as Christians, let us throw off materialism for contentment. For our main topic today, we're going to be discussing some things going on around here on the homestead. We're calling it the Homestead Update, which we'll be doing periodically, and also some money-saving tips. And I am here with the permafarm maiden in the making, Monica. Hello, Monica.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. We've been busy.
Yes, we have, for sure. So we have 9 things on our list, along with 3 money-saving tips. Okay, so let's get started with the homestead update. First one is putting up firewood. What did we do with regards to putting up firewood?
Well, I think that you and a neighbor and his 4 of his kids and 4 of our kids all went out and chopped and gathered and brought up a bunch of firewood. Looking
yeah.
Pretty good down there.
Absolutely. I feel like we're in a much better position with regards to firewood. And I did speak about this a little bit on an earlier podcast about community. So it was a very great thing to have neighbors come up, help us out. We really knocked out a lot in just a short period of time, like 2.5 hours. We got 4 truckloads full of firewood.
And it's neatly stacked right next to our house, so easy access when we need it.
Absolutely. So it's seasoning as we speak. And fortunately, it was all laying over on its side in the first place, so it was seasoning, but now it's in a better position.
Yeah, and we've had a really dry summer here, so it's actually done, I think, pretty good this summer as far as seasoning goes.
Awesome. All right, so for our next item, we put trees and bushes in the ground. And so that was one of our goals per our overall design plan. Our 2-year plan was to get some trees and bushes in the ground before everything goes dormant here.
Right. Yeah, because then all the energy can go down into the roots and can establish a good root system before the spring.
Awesome. All right. Yeah. So yeah, I'm hoping that maybe even get a little bit of production out of them next year. We'll see.
Maybe. I don't know that they'll be usable, but maybe we can do some sauces or jams or cook them up in chicken or something like that.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah, you're right. Probably some of the trees won't be productive for us, but maybe some of the bushes.
Well, yeah, because we got elderberry. Some of those. The apple trees that she had bought, that the previous owner had planted. We got a few apples off of that. You went hunting over there. Those were really tart. I don't know. You really liked them.
I think they were awesome.
I know. I mean,
probably psychological.
Probably just because they were off our own land.
Yeah.
But they were actually really, really good in baked up with the chicken that I made that night.
Yes.
So it was perfect.
Delicious. Okay. Our next item is I have farm dog and farm cat.
Yes.
Let's go with the good first and then the bad.
Well, which one is that? Because our cat has been really good as far as mousing.
Yeah.
So effective that she has rid our entire property of anything that she wants to eat anymore.
Awesome.
And moved up to our neighbor's house.
The reliable Aurora. Yes.
Aurora.
So what did she do at our neighbor's house?
Well, our neighbor, the sweet lady that she is, loves to feed the animals. And so she literally has these, pet wild chipmunks, right? That she feeds every day, and she loves them, and they come. So they hang out at her house all the time. Our cat has discovered that is a great hunting place. So she began to just pretty much lay there and hang out and then easily get her food for the day by killing one of her chipmunks.
Yeah. I mean, this cat is not even eating food,
right?
Like regular, like dry cat food.
Yeah. No.
She wants meat.
Yes.
From
yes.
chipmunks and mice.
Now, the way we figured this out, which actually was quite humorous, because a few weeks ago, they brought us a stray cat that had also been doing the same thing, eating their chipmunks. And
right.
So they called us and said, "Do you need a farm cat?" And I said, "Sure, we'll take another one."
Yeah.
So they had brought the cat out, sweet cat, but I couldn't get him to stay on my property.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it. And he wouldn't stay inside. He was absolutely a wild cat.
Yeah.
Whereas Aurora actually will come inside. Anyway, the cat ended up back at their property. They brought it back again, and it did it again. And so we figured out that he's going to have to find a different home.
Right.
In the meantime, I had the cat carrier because I had, I don't know.
They just brought it up.
They had brought it up right in a cat carrier. So I had their cat carrier, and it's been sitting here for a few weeks. Well, 2 days ago, our neighbor shows up at the door and says, "Hey, can we have our cat carrier? We've got this other stray at our house."
We didn't put two and two together.
No, we didn't even know Aurora was missing because she just hangs out in the pasture.
Yeah, right.
So we said, "Oh, sure." And I said, "No, gosh, I wish we could take the cat. I just know that it wouldn't stay on our property."
They said, "It's so friendly."
So friendly. Yeah. And he's like, "It's beautiful."
And an excellent hunter.
Yeah, that his wife normally doesn't mind cats, but she loves her chipmunks and was eating the chipmunks. And so the next morning, I receive a call from the animal rescue saying, "Hey, someone turned in your cat. Can you come get it?" And I realized it was our neighbor who turned in the cat.
Yeah. And so we called the neighbor.
Yes.
Okay. And how'd that go?
Well, it went fine. I mean, he felt bad because that he brought our cat to the animal rescue, but we kind of told him, please do something to warn the cat, just
one pump on a BB gun. How about that?
One pump on a BB gun and just hit her in the butt and let her know, hey, you're not welcome here.
This is not your territory.
Yeah. Our big task now is to do what we can to try to keep the cat on our own property. And one of the ways we're doing that is feeding her wet food with raw milk and some fresh farm egg.
So we're doing the welfare thing.
Yes.
Okay.
Getting her dependent. So she's not quite so hungry.
Don't feed the animals.
Yeah. And I think she'll still have a hunting instinct, she likes to chase, but she won't necessarily need it for her food and go on hunting in a larger territory, which is basically what she did.
Okay. So maybe we'll let everybody know how she does on the next update on this strategy.
Yeah. Right now she's trapped inside. So.
Okay. So that was the good. Now, to farm dog. Let's talk about our farm dog.
I know that you think it's bad. I think because you've always been deployed whenever we've had puppies. Uh-huh. So you come home and you have this obedient dog. And
it's just natural. That's what dogs do. They're naturally obedient.
Right,
this dog is not.
Obedient.
Drives me crazy.
Yeah, so this is the first time that you've dealt with, a puppy that's kind of untrained. And so, yes, I know. You like it to come when you call. And he runs when you call.
Yes, yes. So we have a border collie.
Yes.
We got from a rescue. He's about, 12 months?
No, he's 9.
Okay, 9 months.
9 months.
Named Bandit.
Bandit.
And currently the bane of my existence.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Better.
Not so. He's okay.
Yeah.
He's okay. And we have just recently started to be able to just let him out.
Yeah.
And he comes back to the front porch and wants in.
Yeah, eventually. So. I mean, he gets his running in and he really enjoys it. And besides the fact that we've got a lot of wild animals around here.
Yeah.
He knows it. He can smell it. He can see them. The only things he's scared of is the moose.
Yes. Yes, he is. Because we have our moose, cow, and calf that we see almost every day.
Yeah.
Whether it's in our yard or somewhere
down
the driveway. That kind of thing. This is definitely their territory, and Bandit is definitely scared of that big beast.
Yeah, he doesn't even bark at them. He doesn't he doesn't react to them, but the deer he likes and any rabbit he sees, he's gone. He bolts and he's chasing.
So the bottom line with the farm dog is we're working on obedience, and he is doing a decent job of warning. He'll bark some with the UPS guy. And that kind of thing. So we'll let you know how that goes as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's finally thinking of this as his house.
Okay,
so
excellent. Now, the next item on our list is a raw milk resource. So do you want to talk about that real quick?
Yeah, basically when I moved here a couple of months ago, it was kind of my first thing I wanted to do because I knew that raw milk had been legalized to sell in Idaho several years ago. People were still selling it before then.
Okay, now hold on a second. I just want to interrupt you real quick. Now, my understanding from listening to the government is that if I drink raw milk, I'm going to die. Is that true?
No,
okay.
It's not
all
true.
Because I really think that I will die if I drink raw milk.
Well, the reason you think that is because the large milk corporations have been very effective using their fear campaign to get people not to buy raw milk because they cannot, absolutely cannot sell their milk without pasteurizing it because of the conditions they keep the cows in, because of the conditions of the milking and all of that. They have to pasteurize it in order for it to
confinement feeding operations, confinement dairy operations,
kind
of thing.
It's unsanitary. They get diseases and everything else. And so pasteurization is absolutely essential for that type of milk production. Whereas you're dealing with smaller farms, you're dealing with cows that are pasture fed. They're out in the sun. They're not being confined. You have a much healthier milk. And then you have farmers who are caring for them. They're not injecting them with a bunch of hormones to get their milk production up. They're doing it natural ways. Like we had to wait for several weeks for one of our raw milk producers to get raw milk because they're waiting for the cow to calf.
Okay, because I mean the demand's pretty high. People want this raw milk. Now my next question is with regards to raw milk is we have this notion that that cow milk is for cows and humans don't do well with cow milk, and I have a dairy intolerance, and so therefore we're not supposed to drink cow milk.
Yeah, well, a lot of that again came from the additives and also the pasteurization and the ultra pasteurization that they've done to the milk that they've commercialized.
Okay.
Whereas raw milk, because it hasn't gone through all that heat, still has the enzymes required that the body needs to be able to break all of that, all the proteins down. And not only that, you have all the fat soluble and the water soluble vitamins that are still there. If you look on pasteurized milk, you'll see a lot of times it says vitamin A and D milk. Well, that's because they had to shove the vitamin A and D back into the milk.
Okay, because it was depleted.
They burned it out.
Okay, got it. Now, what is ultra pasteurization?
I think it's just a higher heat.
Okay.
And breaks things down even further. So a lot of organic milk is ultra pasteurized, which doesn't make it any healthier.
Basically, it's dead.
It's dead.
It's dead.
Yeah, these are not pasteurization, living foods anymore.
Ultra pasteurization. In fact, ultra pasteurized milk, isn't that something you don't even have to refrigerate that? So
correct.
Dead.
Correct. Yeah. As a matter of fact, we just bought some for our food storage. Now, I don't think it lasts that long. That's one of the problems.
Oh, right. But it lasts certainly a lot longer.
Yeah, and I'm going to test that. But to see how long, you know, it can last past the expiration date, because I don't necessarily trust expiration dates either. But,
right.
But yeah, ultra pasteurization can actually sit on the shelf. And, you know, we have organic ultra pasteurized milk sitting on our shelf right now.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that covers the raw milk resource pretty well. Just for edification of listeners, our long-term goal is to bring in our own source of raw milk. We will eventually have a cow and hope to maybe do a podcast on that someday.
Yeah, I would really like to have a Jersey.
Okay.
Because I think it's a good balance between, it's something we can get into later, but there's particular kinds of protein that are done with domesticated and the non-domesticated animals. But the Jersey is a little more hearty.
Okay.
Than some of the others, and it's good for this area.
Yeah.
And then it still has the healthier ratios of the A1, A2.
So a good balance between all those things. Okay, good. Yeah, and that brings
up... pretty.
Yeah. And that brings up a great point of utilizing those things that are adapted very well for your area, whether they're animals or plants or trees or whatever the case.
Yeah, I mean, it's great when you look at something and you think, oh, I really want to have that here. But if you bring it out of its element, you're going to have a hard time either trying to keep it alive or maintaining it, because you have to put so much effort into it.
Okay, so. Excellent. All right, our next item is food storage. And I just want to make a comment about this before we talk about it. And that's, you know, when we talk about food storage, a lot of people immediately think, oh, conspiracy theorist, you're kind of crazy survivalist prepper, that kind of thing. This was just regular life 50 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Regular
life. Probably up until 50 years ago, everybody had a really big food storage or a big pantry.
Right.
Or what did they call those?
Larder.
Okay.
A food larder, food storage. We can call it
food
storage.
What is it? Underground?
Root cellar?
Root cellar. Everybody had root cellars.
In fact, when westward expansion was happening, the first thing people did when they got out on whether they were truly homesteading in the old sense, where basically the government was trying to promote westward expansion and they were giving people 40-acre lots in the true sense of the word of homestead, the first thing that people would do is dig a root cellar.
Of course. Yeah, because they needed somewhere to store their food.
Right.
I mean, if anything, you can build a quick
tent thing.
Something to survive. But if you don't have somewhere to store your food, you're going to go hungry.
Right. Okay, so let's talk briefly about our food storage.
Okay.
That is just, again, we're getting back to this self-sufficient lifestyle, homesteading, and just kind of living a little bit more simply. And part of that is having a food storage.
Yeah.
So what are some of the things that you've found to help us with this?
Well, we found a good source for buying bulk grains and other bulk types of foods, canned goods and things like that. Now, of course, there's Costco.
Sure.
Which has been really good too. And so I've been able to do a little bit of price comparison and found the things that would be cheaper at Costco versus this other resource that we have. And then been able to kind of start stocking up. But it's an investment of both money and time. And then now trying to rotate everything effectively, store everything effectively against insects or anything like that. And then also track it.
Yeah.
Which I still haven't gotten everything in our food pantry onto our tracking.
Okay, but you've come out with an inventory system, and you're still working on the hard work up front of inputting everything. But you've probably got what, 2/3 of it input?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's the system is actually on an app, but you can print out sheets and things like that if you need to.
Okay.
The hardest part is making sure that when someone takes something out of that pantry, they write it down.
Yeah. The system is great if everyone's using it.
Yes. So we do have limited people that are allowed to go in there who know how to do the system.
Okay. That makes sense. And I think that's a pretty good update on food storage. And the next item is we bought a car. We bought a car, a second vehicle. We already had our truck. And again, just like we talked about yesterday on the podcast, debt-free living, we do everything debt-free to the max extent possible. We still have a mortgage.
Yeah.
Very upfront about that. And our status symbol is the paid-off mortgage. And so we hope to get there soon someday. So we bought a car, cash, a second vehicle. And in this area, we bought a car that isn't required for this area. So we bought a 1998 Subaru Outback,
yeah.
All-wheel drive. They're very reliable cars. You see them all over the place here. They're very easy to work on this year. There's not a whole lot of electronics involved.
Exactly. In it.
And so we picked that up for real cheap, $2,500.
Yeah.
And these cars do great around here in the winter, so that's exactly what we need.
Yeah.
Anything to add with that?
I don't think so, except people probably are wondering, can we fit all of our family, because we do have a large family, into either one of our vehicles? And the answer is no.
No. Yeah. And you're right. That's a good point. So we've weighed out this over and over again. Buying a vehicle that fits everyone is just very expensive, even buying used.
It's very expensive. And so what we decided to do, since we really only take everybody with us if we go to a neighbor's house, which is so quick and it doesn't matter, or going into church. And in Idaho, it is legal for people to ride in the back.
Yep, it's legal. Imagine that. I know that's crazy.
It is crazy.
You're supposed to be all strapped in with helmets on and boots.
Well, it's funny to me because you still have seatbelt laws, but you can, you know, but people can ride in the bed of a truck, which seems a little, you know, contradictory to me, but it's worked out for us. And so we throw sleeping bags back there, and actually people who don't have to ride back there have wanted to ride back there. They love riding in the back of the truck.
Yeah, we have a canopy on the truck. It's not open to the air.
Right.
And our eventual plan is to get a bench seat back there and, you know, bolt it down and all of that. So we'll get there, but in the meantime it's working. And this has been a very reasonable inexpensive way to solve that problem.
Yeah. And the journey to church is an exciting journey.
That's right.
The kids enjoy it.
We'll see how it goes in winter.
Yeah.
All right. So the next item is we bought a couple of guns. We bought a couple of pistols for you and Ella.
Yeah.
And we're getting ready to train you guys up and take you through a 3-day course covering all the fundamentals and going through that so you're very comfortable with shooting.
Yes. And my gun is pink.
And yes, it's a polymer framed PPK 380, and it has a pink frame.
Yeah. We did look for sparkles, but I just don't have those yet.
Okay.
I'm packing the jewel.
Nice. So we'll give you an update on the course. And so again, that's the future of business for Mitzel Enterprises, Outlanders Frontier Academy. We teach specialized skill-based courses, and so as a test for that business and entrepreneurship, it's good to run through a test run, whether it doesn't matter what it is, if it's a product, you have people use it for free. If you're teaching courses, you teach, you know, family and friends, run through it, get feedback and that kind of thing to make it better.
Yeah.
So we're getting ready to do that. All right. The next item is learning the process of processing ducks.
Yeah.
So we went a couple weeks ago and helped process 60 ducks.
60 ducks.
Yeah. What did you think of that?
It was a bloody business.
It was a bloody business.
It was messy.
Yeah.
It was muddy. I don't know that maybe the setup, but for me it wasn't bad. It was perfectly fine. But I think seeing the butchering of the very first duck was a little traumatic for me.
Yeah, it was a little traumatic.
Because you know, besides when I was really little. And that was traumatic too, by the way.
Yeah.
Watching a chicken with running around with its head cut off. But this one, I actually had to cover my eyes at one point. I think Ella teared up. I don't know, but we were pretty traumatized by the first. After about 20, it got kind of like, okay,
kill them all.
Let's just get moving now.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So you know, but it does bring you closer to
your food
and the source of food, and helps you appreciate it more. And we really went there just to learn, help out and learn. And, well, they gave us a couple ducks.
They did. We got 2 ducks. And I think, 2 days later, I cooked up the first duck.
Yeah.
It was delicious.
It was awesome.
And yeah. it was cool because we were like, wow, this just 2 days ago.
Yeah.
You know, we were there, just we helped butcher this duck and now we're eating it. You know, it's fresh.
Absolutely. Fresh. It was great. It was excellent because we knew we all had a hand in it.
Yeah.
You know, and all of that. So it's good to be connected to your food. You appreciate it more. Yeah. You know, you care about how that animal is treated. It's nice to know how it was.
Yeah.
How it was raised and you know, even the process of processing it.
Yeah.
And so that's important.
Yeah. And they took good care of their ducks.
Yep.
And they were a happy little bunch. So they were allowed to be ducks.
They were allowed to be ducks. The duckiness of a duck, as Joel Salatin would say.
Joel Salatin. Let the duck
be a duck. Pigness of a pig.
Exactly.
All right. Excellent. So our last item for the homestead update is first full day of fire.
Oh, yeah.
In the home.
We did that yesterday.
Yeah. Woo! Maybe a little early, but, you know, we were a little excited.
Well, yeah, and I think it's, like you were talking about, it's good to test it out.
Yes.
Because when full winter comes, you know, you don't want that to be like, okay, can we keep this thing going?
Yeah.
And, you know, how's it going to heat the house?
Right. And how much fuel are we going to go through on average a day? Get it, and how do we get it to burn efficiently?
Right.
You know, that stove, how do we get that stove? You got to get to know each stove.
Yeah, everyone is different. Yeah, we kind of discovered that yesterday, and wow, it got up to what, 82? 82 in our main living area.
It's glorious.
I was sweating.
Oh, kind of.
I was actually at one point wearing a tank top.
Yeah.
So.
And I was actually impressed with, once it got up to running efficiently, how little wood we actually were using. And we, once again, just like I talked about the other day in processing of wood and heating a home with wood, we used cedar for about the first hour and a half. And then we started putting on some hardwood.
Yeah.
And that just burned for a long time.
Long time. Several hours.
Put out some serious heat.
Yeah. And of course, I don't know, we have kind of a special fireplace.
Stove, yeah.
Yeah, that stove, whatever, that closes and it reburns.
It reburns. It's got a catalytic converter.
We'll
have to talk about that a little bit someday.
Yeah. So because of that, we're able to go through less fuel.
Okay. Great. So that's the update on the homestead. That's exciting, and we plan on bringing you these updates every so often, whether it's every couple weeks or once a month, something like that, to give you an update on the projects we've got going on and everything about the homestead. Now, we do have a few money-saving tips that we want to go through real quick. And the first one, it says, cook from scratch.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, because I think many times, especially when we're thinking about saving money, food is one of the biggest expenditures for any family.
Absolutely.
And that's also the way, the easiest way for us to decrease our spending.
Yes.
And if we take time and effort, and I know many people were raised on instant food or eating out a lot, and so maybe they aren't prepared or don't know, learn. And start out simple. You know, do simple things. Don't think you have to be all fancy with your meals or anything like that. Just do basic ingredients, and it'll be easier.
Okay, so this is a money-saving tip. So we laid out an example.
Yes, okay. So
I'm going to, let me come from my end, and then I'll have you bring in your end. So our example is oatmeal. All right, so it's a very simple example. A good breakfast food to be used in conjunction with other things, whether it's raw milk or something like that. But the oatmeal example, so what I'm going to come across as basically how you would buy regular oatmeal, plain oatmeal, and then Monica is going to come in with how we do it.
Yeah.
Okay, so my example comes from Walmart online. So it's actually one of the cheaper examples that you can use, and it's these Quaker Original Instant Oatmeal, just under 1 ounce per packet, and it's right around $3. Okay, so I'm going to use round numbers. To do that, so I'm going to use 1 ounce and $3, even though it's slightly under an ounce and it's slightly under $3. Now, each serving is 100 calories, okay, of just regular instant oatmeal. This doesn't have all the sugar and all that kind of stuff, all the garbage put in. And so our example is to use two servings. Okay, so two of those instant packets that you open up and put in, that's only 200 calories. And so what we're talking about is 50 cents for those two packets.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So now what we do is buy rolled oats in a 50-pound bag.
Okay.
And that 50-pound bag costs $26.
Okay.
So servings in there, there's a lot of servings. I didn't write it down, 480 or something like that.
Right.
It came out to 18 cents per serving for 200 calories.
Okay. So the apples to apples comparison, we've got the Walmart packets, which are basically 50 cents.
Yes.
And to buy in bulk and do it our way, that same amount is coming out to 18 cents.
Correct.
Okay. So that's like about 150% markup, even with the one of the cheapest ways of purchasing oatmeal via Walmart.
Yes. And, you know, I understand they're instant packets and you can just throw it in and add hot water or whatever. But making oatmeal on the stovetop in bulk, you know, for six people or whatever, is actually quite fast. It's not hard at all. And then you know what ingredients are going in and you know, you can add things. Because a lot of times the kids will throw a packet in a bowl and then throw in like a bunch of sugar. And, you know, you're not there to monitor or whatever. It's also only 200 calories.
Right.
I'm sorry, but with teenage kids, they eat way more than 200 calories for breakfast.
Sure.
I mean, we're talking 500 calories. And so I make a big, giant thing of oatmeal.
Right.
And then I use the leftover oatmeal for other things if we have any left.
Okay. Excellent. That's a great example. It kind of just shows a way to save money buying in bulk.
Yeah.
Okay. And cooking from scratch.
Yes. Cooking from scratch.
Yeah. So the second money-saving tip is, and it's very important for our homesteaders, is planning trips into town.
Yes.
Okay, it's not a quick, we can't just run to Walmart real quick.
Right.
Yeah, it takes some time, it takes gas, and all of that. So how do we do that?
Well, we actually use Evernote.
Okay.
We have an ongoing shopping and errand kind of thing, plus we have a shared calendar and things like that.
Right.
But, so that we know if one of us has to go into town, like I had to go into town on Tuesday to go for my eye exam.
Okay.
Well, I combined grocery shopping and a couple of other errands, got some things we needed for around the house, showerhead and things like that, all in one time.
Okay.
So that we didn't have to go back again the next day or the day after.
Right. And this is, I mean, we're still getting set up.
Yes.
And so to keep our trips down to twice a week is great.
Yeah.
It's really good. Okay. And then the third money saving tip for today, and final money-saving tip for today is, you say here, stop buying paper towels.
Yes, what I stopped buying.
Paper towels? Come on, this is ridiculous. This is only a paper towel.
Yeah, well, you know what's crazy? I love my paper towels.
Okay.
Because I really do. I just use them, I use them all the time. And very, very many of them. So for me, I got here and I thought, you know what? I'm going to get rid of that paper product and see if I can just go to using cloth. And I went to Lowe's and got a big, giant bag of t-shirt rags. It was by the pound. I mean, this isn't even, you know, oh, five t-shirt rags. No, it was like 40 pounds, you know.
Okay.
And I brought them home. And are they attractive? No, not really. But does it matter? I use them the same way as I use a paper towel. And they are super convenient. They're washable and they're reusable. And I'm saving a lot of money doing that.
Excellent.
So,
all right. So that concludes our homestead update and money saving tips.
Yes.
Our scripture of the day comes from Exodus chapter 14, verses 14 and 15. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward." This concludes today's podcast. Thanks for listening. Please visit us on our website, thecourageouslifepodcast.com. We'd appreciate any comments or questions that you have. And also like us on Facebook, The Courageous Life Podcast. Semper Fidelis and Soli Deo Gloria.